Blog Talk Radio.
Wheels are rolling, hear the howling winds of war.
Hello, everybody. How you doing? Got a little caught up in the mix just with the music there for a minute. Some music by Kansas. It's called Cheyenne Anthem. It's a really cool move. Tool. I'm sorry. It's a cool song about the Indians, the Midwest. And so check out some other Kansas music. Their greatest hits. This is Psychic X Journey Man, your host, and this is Psychic X Journey Man's Spiritual Link. So, welcome to the show. How y'all doing? Sitting here trying to do some bounds and downs and doing a little thing around here. We do have a lot of people in the queue too, so we're gonna get to everybody. Just sit here and work with this, and we'll be okay. Okay. Let me see here. If you wanna give us a call in here, give us a call at 646-721-9031. That number again is 646-721-9031. Let's bring on my guest. And that would be, if I'm not mistaken, this is Dee, right?
Yep, I'm here.
Hey, what's up? How are you?
Fine. You must have had a very long dinner.
Every freaking night, you guys keep getting later and later and later.
Yeah, you were going to
I'm
call
doing my
back, and
radio
I
show
didn't hear
right
from
now.
you.
That's what I'm doing. Hey, I'm sorry about that call. I didn't give it back to you.
That's okay.
I was actually, my friend had actually done another banner for me, and I was trying to figure out how to download it on Block Talk Radio. But what I did was I basically went to everything else, Facebook,
That happens.
my website, my banner. I actually was able to put the banner on the website. I wasn't too sure about Facebook and those other things, but I did change the pictures. Got a little more professional with the pictures and stuff like that, so therefore it looks a whole lot more professional. Of course. So with the situation, Adi, how you doing? I understand. I really want to get back with you and sit down and have a conversation where we didn't have 100,000 people listening to us right now. But who cares, right?
That could be interesting.
I guess it's just one of those situations, looking at everything, sharing everything with everybody. So, we do have a public lifestyle, so this is all about. As long as I
I
find
guess
2 hours a
you
day, I'm good to go.
do. Yeah, mine's getting more public.
Right. So do you actually do this kind of work? Like I do, I have a website where I get paid for doing psychic and
I
sorry,
it's been a while.
doing psychics. There was a couple of cute psychics, but no, never mind. Anyway,
I used to get paid on LivePerson until I was up without a computer for a while and they dumped my status. So I,
right.
you know, they still owe me some money, but you have to, my goal was, each month was to make $50, and I hadn't. So I've got to contact them and find out about getting paid from them, getting the money that they owe me and seeing about possibly getting back on there, because the reason I went on there to begin with, I had an ex-friend of mine was on there, and I decided that it would be good to have, people on there, a few more on there that were the real deal, because there's so many frauds out there. I can't stand the frauds. They really, really irritate me. Those are the ones that go out there and say, I'm better than you. You've tried all the rest, now try the best. Or I'm 100% accurate. You are? Well, that's news to me. Those people really grate on me because they give the rest of us a bad name. But no, actually, I'm at that point now since I'm, that sure, if somebody wants to contact me, I have PayPal. So if somebody wants like an email reading, or they want something by phone, I haven't figured out my Skype yet, and I've got those before I do my own show. Because I don't have the sound, but yeah, if somebody wants a reading, I'm more than happy to oblige them.
Okay, so I mean, the one thing I'm trying
It'll
to
be
do
a
is.
love donation, if like $20 for an email reading, maybe. I don't know. I'm not used to charging a real lot because on LivePerson, I kept it to $1 a minute because I knew there were a lot of people that couldn't afford it. Couldn't afford a lot, so I kept my prices low, even if I was doing an email reading, because on there people will say, well, I can pay up to so much, or that sort of thing. I'm always willing to work with people, and if somebody's really needs help and they can't afford it, I'll give you a reading.
Okay.
You know.
All I'm saying, which I'm just saying, what you should do, like I do, you just sit there and make you up a website, which probably you do. I was sitting there. What I do is I set my prices.
Well, I've got
okay?
to make one.
Right. So what I do is I go to Yola's site. Yola's site, you can do a really nice website, and it's free. I mean,
which
you can upgrade to silver and gold and all that kind of stuff, where you can actually get more benefits from Yola. But you can definitely have a productive, working website through Yola's site, because that's how I started off when I was doing Blog Talk Radio. I just linked it to Blog Talk Radio. Every time someone wanted to get a reading from me, they go there, click, you have the little PayPal buttons and stuff like that. Big deal.
Right.
And what I do is I set my prices. Like, I'll go in there, I just change my prices, and I just set the prices. And then people come to me and say, well, I can't afford that. Well, what can you do? I'm just showing. What
right.
I do is I put it out there. This is what I feel like my, you know, I wouldn't say my worth, but I said this is what we put
right.
out there, make, and put some worth to it. So therefore they understand exactly what it's all about. So when you sit down and do a deal with them and work with them, they understand that you are there for them. It's just the prices
right.
are what you feel like they should be. Doesn't mean we have to keep those prices with everybody we work with. Because we do,
right.
we do understand the situation. It's not the idea of people can't afford it, cannot afford it. It's just that different people are different paths. So their perceptions
right.
are different. So therefore, we're trying to detail it to everybody. So come on down and give us a chance. And so, Dee, if they want to get, a, if they actually do want to contact you, how would they contact you?
My email address is spiritwindthemessenger@hotmail.com.
Okay. Also, on that note, yes. Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, just give as much information as you want.
And so if they want to contact me there. I can give them my PayPal details, and we can work it from there, find out exactly what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still, I do straight psychic readings. I mean, I am a medium, so I'm a clairvoyant and clairaudient, so you never know what I'm going to get. I can work, I have worked with pictures before. It's been, you know, sometimes it depends on, you know, who it is. Like sometimes I pick up stuff and sometimes I don't. I'll pick up stuff from like letters or something that somebody's, you know, somebody's energy. I can pick up stuff from that. I've held things, and I held something once that was sent to me from from a town who's really in love with me so much. the energy, I don't know. I know apparently who sent it, but I don't think they held it. I think somebody else did it for them. They just had it sent. The energy in there was the most vile energy I had ever felt. In fact, I have a friend who held it, and she's also a medium, but she's not. You know, she needs to really get confidence
right.
in herself to do anything, and she wouldn't do, you know, she said, you know, she knows I'm going to do a show. She said she wouldn't be on it, which is fine, but she's really great. And she held it, and she had the exact same impression that I did. It was the most disgusting stuff I'd ever felt. It was so negative and vile. I figure I know who probably held it, and it wasn't the person that sent it. But I can pick up some energy and things like that. And it's like,
okay,
wonderful.
Well, all I want to do is kind of scoot things along, because we're actually getting a pretty full queue tonight. Like
right.
we said last night, we sit here talking about the situation. It's going to be a whole lot more crowded. It's going to be a whole lot more busy tonight. Give your information, I want to also sit and tell everybody. Also, you can contact me, too, for personal readings and private readings. We do 7-card, 5-card,
right.
and 3-card angel readings. And right now, we're still going to. I said I changed my prices on my website, but I'm still honoring the prices that until the 22nd that we was telling before about where you can get a 60-minute reading for $33.33. You can get a 40-minute session for $22.22, and you can get a 20-minute session for $11.11. You can also get a 1-card angel reading, which is $9.99, which usually lasts about 15 minutes. And also on that note, we also have a 90-minute to 2-hour session where you get a 7-card. Either a 7-card angel card reading with our angel archangel cards, or exclusively the Archangel Michael and Archangel Raphael cards, and also your pick of choice of a past life reading, past life regression, or relationship counseling or life coaching sessions as well. They're 9 minutes to 2 hours, and right now they're only going for $77.77. That's right, I did say $77.77. So give us a call. at 740-500-8863 or call me through Skype, which is actually 740-601-9835. Also, if you want to, so this will be a lot easier for you, contact us through the website, which is www.psychicxjourneyman.com. And if you're actually looking for that link, it's actually on our show page, so just look for it right there, and all you got to do is click, and you're in our, you are in there. So we're also looking for people to go to the website to give us some feedback on some of the, we just upgraded a lot of things. And like I tell everybody, we're still honoring the prices I just mentioned. If you go on the website now, you will see things have changed. The prices have changed, so we're getting ready for after the 22nd to go right into the whole thing because we're really getting busy right now. And actually, Dee, if you'd like to, you could also go to this one company called ZMC Psychics. I think they might actually be looking for a couple of psychics on there, too, as well. And
I forgot that down. I know I belonged to some other place, and I forgot which one it was that hired me. I interviewed for her over the phone. All I remember is the name is Carla, and I just have never been there. Mm-hmm. I'm just now really getting ready to get back into it, and I've got to set up my own website. I am on Facebook, but it's just under my name. I don't even
go
to Facebook.
Well, if they can find you on Facebook, too. You know, it's one of those things. It was all kind of avenue. I never realized how popular Facebook was until I put on that I was going to England, and all of a sudden everybody started coming out of the woodwork going, so you're going to England, huh? I said, who are you? Anyway, it was kind of crazy that we've actually things have kind of diverted. Also, guys out there, we are starting looking for donations, so please donate to the show. And let's all work together to keep this format going and keep giving out that message. And also, any other fellow psychics out there that would like to come on the show, maybe some people I've already acquainted, come across with or something like that, please, you know, give me a call or notify me through my Blog Talk Radio because I'm looking to have more, at least one or two more on the show. So when people come on those weekends, that we can actually give them maybe three or four different opinions. So let's go into our first call. What do you say, Dee?
Yeah, I agree.
All right, here we go. That's actually one. We push the button. It takes it for some reason. It's like, the button. There we go. Area code 20. Take a deep breath.
You want to try that one again? 207, huh? Hey.
Yeah, 270. Come on. 270, please. You're on the air. Welcome to the show. What's your name? And say hello to Dee.
Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
Michelle.
I had to make sure it was me.
It's you.
Okay. He wasn't too sure it was you, huh?
Yeah. That's my area code.
Okay.
I had to make sure it was my area code. There wasn't another person on there with the same area code.
No, I'm too good.
I'm wanting to find out about... Huh?
Only thing I was going to say was I was going to take your area code and look it up in the Angel Book. I have an angel book here called Angel Numbers 101. It's by Doreen Virtue. And I was going to look up the meaning of your number. And it's amazing how we were doing that a couple of shows back where every time we would read someone's area code, they would sit there. One lady even told me that the area code that she had wasn't where she was living at the time. She hadn't had time to change her phone over. And I said, well, just take a look at it anyway. And sure enough, it had a powerful meaning and message for her anyway, and she was kind of baffled. I said, well, the number is still associated with you. So it makes perfect sense. Now, yours is 270. Okay, 270 in the book means the universe is congratulating you on keeping the faith, which has caused your light and love to shine radiantly. So people actually see more of you than you realize. So what was the question that you wanted to throw out to me and Dee?
Oh, love and health and finances.
Ah.
Which one would you like to start with? My kid, she's actually focusing on love. She's hoping that that love relationship will actually bring a whole lot more better health in her life.
Yeah, you're right. To have somebody to see the real me, that I want somebody to love me for who I am, you know.
I hear you on that one. That's always my goal.
So, Nash. Right, 270. Where is that at in the world tonight, Michelle?
No, 270. Right.
Kentucky.
Kentucky. Okay. Okay, Michelle.
Yeah.
Hey, Dee. This is my show.
Oh, you said 270, and my brain was kicking into 207.
Where y'all
That's
at?
Rare,
where,
I'm in Maine.
Where y'all at?
I'm in Maine.
Oh, really? Are you by the ocean?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you lucky thing.
I'm only about an hour or so from Acadia National Park.
Oh, my goodness. That's always been my dream, to live at the ocean.
It's pretty here. It's a dark cloud hanging over the town, but it's a pretty town. I grew up here.
Right.
Oh.
No, Michelle, one thing you should also think about, too, the idea of the ocean is a healing effect, but you also need a combination of both, some kind of really grounding. Like, if you could actually, like California would be great, because depending where you live at, you can actually take advantage of the mountains and the oceans, which is very good for spirituality. It really is. It's too bad the Californians are not more balanced than they are. Maybe they are. I don't live out there, but I'm just saying, when I was living in Colorado, feng shui is kind of a wild way of looking at things, how you can actually utilize energy. And it said it's always best to have water in front of you, where you live at, and to have some kind of mountains behind you, which is great.
And I've always loved water. It's always been peace to me, where I can go and just relax and listen to the waves, and just, it's relaxing. Calms me.
And that's
definitely.
I'm just saying, when I was in Colorado, I actually had my last apartment that I had, we actually had a creek running under the building. So right by my window, right behind my building, we had the mountains, and then the creek was coming off the mountains underneath my home. So therefore, I had the water, I had the mountains, and I had the groundingness. And I felt, maybe that's why I felt so at peace at when I was out there in the first place. But it's one of those things.
Where
are
you at now?
I'm in Ohio.
They used to go out there all the time. I didn't like Ohio when I was out there.
We used to have a joke about the whole thing, saying if Ohio is the heart of the country, this would explain why we have heart disease. Anyway, that's our.
Now, the Ohio River's pretty.
Yeah, but it depends where you're at. We actually had a couple saying, "Ooh, this is really pretty," and all of a sudden we saw a commode floating down the river, kind of threw the whole picture off. But that was one day.
My dad used to call Ohio OH-10.
That
see the license plate?
Huh?
Oh, that's from OH-10. I think people out there are super friendly, but it is so flat. It's so totally different from Maine, and like, whoa.
It is a little bit different. There are good spots in there, the whole thing. But, sometimes you got to go where you feel like you really feel at home. And a lot of times it's just a way of looking for a way of grounding yourself to actually find yourself again. So some places are easier to do that. And if you don't feel comfortable where you're at, maybe you don't feel comfortable with yourself, but it doesn't hurt to actually, like Manitou Springs, where I used to live at in Colorado, was actually in a vortex. And it was easy to utilize that energy and got some major changes and actually really got deeply more into the spiritual side of the whole thing, meditations and working with people. And I had a chance to go out and see fairies.
I think you miss it and you want to go back.
Oh yeah, most definitely. I wouldn't argue with that one. The one thing I wanted to say to you is, and it's Michelle, right?
Uh huh.
Okay. See, the one thing I get the most is the idea of the things you're looking for, you have to have within yourself. As you're saying, I'm looking for someone who's going to love me for who I am. It's the ideal right now. What I keep picking up is you need to sit there. And they call these things called a mirror treatment, a mirror meditation. And what you do is, it's the idea of talking to yourself in the mirror and being very honest with yourself, of actually opening your eyes up to see what you see and being very honest with yourself and say, okay, am I happy or satisfied with this? And if you're not, then take the next steps and actually find a way to actually be happy with yourself and look at the situation. And even some people I've seen before, too, saying, well, if you are at a certain weight or a certain age or something like that, try to look past that as a human concept and ask yourself, what do I really see? Like when I look in the mirror, I see a 35-year-old. And people will sit there and go, well, you're 50. I said, I don't like you. Okay? You're telling me, it's like you're looking at the situation. You're looking, because I told you I'm 50. So your perception feeds into that and says, okay, but you're 50. I said, no, no. I said, what do you see? And they go, well, I said, well, I'll give you a hint. so we throw out the little thing. But I remember one time. Staying in a hotel. I was talking to this girl. She was like 25, 26, and she came on flirting on me and hit on me. And I said, and then she started talking about how icky she thought 45-year-old guys were. I said, really? I said, how old do you think I am? She goes, you can't be no more than over 30. I said, I love this woman. You know, but it's also, but when you sit here and look at the situation, some people, when you don't say nothing, don't go into the power of suggestion, just let them see things for what they are, they have a tendency to see you more clearly than you see yourself. So when we sit here and look at the situation and knowing ourselves very clearly and very intensely and very deeply, we know that when we meet the right person, we know they're sincere. Because we're being sincere with ourselves. And that's the one thing I keep picking up with you, is the idea that right now is what you need to do is take that time to work on yourself. It doesn't mean you're bad, good, or in between or anything like that. It's just the idea of taking the time to really go within yourself, to find who you are, find out what you really want to do, and every day strive to go deeper within yourself. And also take a look at the idea of the list, what you're looking at. What do you want? What is your biggest thing about relationships? You know, because we sit here, when I sit here and tell people, I want you to sit down and write a list about yourself first. What do you see and what do you want to be? I think we should all start with a list for ourselves before we actually consider even any kind of inkling about the list that we would like to have for a relationship. Because I've actually sat down with a lot of women, and I have to say that because men are just really just wusses when it comes to writing out lists and going, how come I can't have what I want? We've never you never actually sit down to declare what that means, man. Well, if you go, seriously, I've sat down with men, and the superficialness that they're actually looking for, you can see within them.
I want somebody to love me as much as I love them. I'm a very affectionate girl.
Right, but what you should do is you should focus on affirmations on that too as well.
What do you mean?
What I mean by that is it's like the idea. For example, let me pull one out for you. I got this one in here. Actually, I wrote this, and what was so funny about it was I tell people to go look for books, affirmations and books on relationships and soulmates and stuff like that. They always have affirmations and certain things to work with. And the reason I suggest that is because by working with those books, it's easier to come up with affirmations yourself by looking over these things and going through things. Okay? There's actually I've always suggested to people to go to my website, www.psychicxjourneyman.com, because I actually have a book page that I recommend. I have a page where I have a bunch of books that I recommend. So instead of telling everybody on the show, because everybody's like, they're trying to take all the information that we're giving them in the first place. I said, well, forget about writing the book down and just go to the website, and all the information is right there to find it. So it makes it easier. Okay, let me find one. Here it is. Now, this is what I wrote. Okay, is this the one? What I was focusing on is a reconnection, okay? So what I wrote down, it says, I am happy and grateful for Ruth Katie Louise Dye being single and calling me today, which led to us being together and married now. You see how the affirmation is? It's basically putting in the now, like it's already happened. And that's what you need to do, because if you keep focusing on something, I've heard people say this before where, you know, one of these days I'm going to find the right person. Okay?
Always I hate one being thing. Single.
Huh? I know, but remember one thing, okay?
A couple of months ago, I hated being married, you know? And now I'm glad
he wasn't,
it's gone.
That's true, too, but was you really mad at being married or was you mad at yourself?
I was mad at myself for not. I think I've seen some of the signs, and
you didn't trust
yourself. I think I ignored it, right?
Okay, the idea of affirmations, okay, guys, and the concept of affirmations. Always remember, tomorrow never comes because it turns into today. It turns into today. So what you need to do is focus on everything happening now. That's why I always say that I'm happy and grateful. See, I'm saying I'm happy. I'm grateful. So say I'm in a good place in my life. For Ruth, Kitty Louise Dye, I know who. Okay, I also put down being single, so there's no attachments, and I'm focusing on her calling me today. See, I always say today, because this one person I was talking to sitter looked at me and said, what if she doesn't call you today? Oh, go away. You know, people always want to sit there and jump on the bandwagon, what if, in the negative way. And I'm tired of hearing it, okay? And I tell people, am I angry? No, I'm just tired of hearing it because I'm focusing on what if in the positive way. And we all have to come to that point of declaring that, too, that when certain people cross our paths, we don't have to continue to associate with them. Doesn't mean we love them any less. If anything, we're loving them more by sending them on their way. So they hopefully they'll understand that why people push them away is because of their negative behavior. And we're trying to focus on being positive. Okay?
Bingo.
Or at least, and the idea of focusing on balance. The only way you can have balance is to realize the idea of the two emotions always work together. Like we were talking about before, giving and receiving. Okay? I've talked to so many women who said, I give. They don't understand that giving and receiving are mutually important. One without the other brings an imbalance within your life. Okay? So you have to be open to receiving, because I've actually talked to a lot of women who are sitting there going, this guy's not giving me anything. And the reason they didn't see it because they were too busy giving themselves. They thought it was bad to focus on receiving, not realizing in the process and not opening themselves up to receiving. Here's a person who was giving back to them, but they wasn't catching it because they were so focused, and even certain things about guilt within themselves, that the idea of receiving anything was just against the spiritual lifestyle, okay? And actually, it's all a part of the same thing, because it's like with money. You know, money is the idea. If you save money just for the sake of saving money, it always seems to be difficult. Because realistically, you got to keep the flow going. And if you hoard it, you basically cut the flow off. So they don't understand by what you put out there, you get back. So I always sit there and say, all the money I spend enriches everyone out there and comes back to me tenfold. So see, it's a constant flowing in how you put your affirmations too as well. And that's what I'm saying. The one I was focusing on too is, I saw this other one. You are focusing on something. So I'm realistically, like, when I sit here and say, be honest with yourself, what do you want? So you have to deal with the idea of marriage. You have to deal with the idea of assholes. And then in the process of realizing that those are the things you don't want, you write them down on a piece of paper, take that piece of paper, either burn it, throw it away, and never think about it no more. And then go right into focusing on exactly what you do want. So what I wrote down was, you can also do this in abstract. You don't have to put a name in there. But you consider and say, I'm happy and grateful now that I have a wonderful, happy, joyous, romantic, spiritual soulmate, twin flame relationship. And if you're looking to get married, there's nothing wrong with putting marriage in there. You consider a relationship marriage. And then you say, the person you're with, you just go right into it. We are really learning to understand each other. Let me say it one more time. We are really learning to understand and deeply love each other now. Thank you, thank you, and thank you. And you say that every day. I had this one lady who had cancer. She had breast cancer. What she used to say every day, she never focused on breast cancer. All she focused on was being healed, as if it already happened. So she would say, God, thank you, God and angels, for my healing. Thank you, God and angels, for my healing. About 3 months later, she went for a checkup, and she didn't have breast cancer anymore. So there's definitely a connection between the two. She also was a very spiritual person. She also believed very strongly in God. She also believed very strongly in the angels she worked with. And she also utilized that all together to work toward a common goal, which was the idea of happy life. Anything that doesn't contribute to that happy life, she didn't focus on. Anything else did cross her path, because a lot of people say, well, bad things happen. Yeah, but if you start constantly focusing on positive things, I'm pretty sure the positive solution will pop in your life, too, very quickly as well. But if you keep dwelling on bad things or even keep dwelling on the situation itself, solutions have a tendency to come slowly, if at all. So we have to change that whole thing. But there was some other affirmations in here, too. There was actually a site, too, my friend sent to me, which I could actually wish I could send to everybody. But we were having trouble with the chat room. I'm going to actually try to utilize that chat room thing right now. But every time, it's enough to irritate you when you sit and try to click into these things and try to get those chat rooms and stuff to work. We're working equipment because I'm working through my mom's stuff. And it seems like it's kind of funny, too, that people in their situations kind of get just kind of crazy. But what I would do with that, if that was you, is what you're looking for this year, just start off saying, I now have a wonderful, happy relationship. Spiritual relationship, soulmate relationship, twin flame relationship, throw them all in there. And then just say, we are really learning to understand and love each other unconditionally now. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And as you're focusing on that one.
Do you see me with somebody?
You know, when people ask me a question, I try not to be funny about the whole thing, because I try to point it back to everybody and say, I want you to listen to yourself, what you just asked. The possibility of you actually having a relationship, by asking the question, you should also ask yourself, do I really honestly believe that I can have one? Because that really, if you don't really have that true belief within your heart, it will work against you. If anything, it will push everybody away. And you don't want that to happen.
Well, I do. I just don't want to make the wrong choice again. You know what I mean?
Well, I know, sweetie, but that's what I'm saying. In the process of having that doubt is the idea, the possibility of making a wrong mistake. When I sit here and tell people to work on themselves, the more you know who you are, the more you're going to know who you're going to be with or who you're supposed to be with. When that person crosses your path, you'll know it. Because the one thing I like to sit down and stress to everybody, when I say cross your path, I mean you're going to associate with each other. You're going to walk up to each other. You're going to say, hello, how you doing? Even to the point maybe you're a very highly sexual woman, and both of you will just walk up to each other and say, okay, I want to do you. See, they're crossing paths. Okay, it's actually happening, okay? what I'm saying is there's no question about it. There's definitely...
That's so funny that he says that.
I said that for a reason, Michelle.
If you got it, go
anyway.
For it, girl.
Because I wanted to do him, and he just holding back. I'm like, what's up?
Exactly. Look at the situation. We need to follow up with questions like that, too, looking at people right in the face and say, okay, I can feel it. I know you want this. So what's your problem?
I think he's holding back because he wants to do things the right way.
That's true, too, sweetie. But what is the right thing? You know, I was sitting here talking to a lady the other day who says she's old-fashioned and she wants a guy to chase
her. Well, it's kind of a long, long story because years ago we were together and it was just for sex. His mother and me were friends, and I told her I was horny, and I wanted some, and he came down here, and we did it, and that was the end of it. And now we're kind of talking after all these years, you know, that, you know, we just never talked about it. It was just one of those things, you know.
Yes. You guys are really good at that noise-making thing, aren't you? Okay, that's good, but it seems like that when the connection initially happened, there was a whole lot more there that people wasn't really willing to look at because there was such an intensity on a physical level.
It was the end of it. I mean, we never talked about it again, and then we saw each other after all these years, and it was a really good kind of reunion, you know, and we talked really well, And this time around, I don't think it's sex. I think he wants more than sex.
Sounds that
way. Well, that's okay. I understand that point of view. But my thing is, look at the situation. Maybe he wants it, but is he really capable of actually expressing it?
What do you mean?
Well, when the situation of actually trying to, you know, you got someone here is being closed. I call it closed-mindedness of actually not willing to express that. Those feelings, because the only way they're ever going to be really brought out and really experienced is to talk about it. And if he's not willing to do that, then it's going to kind of hinder the relationship going on. It's going to be one-sided. Because, I mean, I've talked to a couple ladies lately where it seems like the guy doesn't stand up to the plate. So what they do is they take up the initiative to actually do both sides, not realizing the only person really keeping the relationship going is her. Oh, he's there. And when he says, do me, oh, he's there for that too. But when it comes to the real strength of the foundation of this relationship, he's not willing to put that out there. And then the woman's always unfulfilled, not realizing what's happening is, if you're doing both sides, you're fulfilling yourself. So that's what I'm saying. You take a couple steps back and say, okay, maybe what the whole thing is all about with this certain person is to realize I need to go back within myself and see if I should actually give myself that love that I'm hoping that he will give to me. Because in order to get someone to open up to you, is to open up to yourself and be honest with yourself and say, okay, am I giving myself enough love? Because every time you put any kind of expectations on somebody else, it's because of something you're missing within yourself. I'm serious. When you do that kind of work, I always say, some people are like, well, what do you do? I say, this is a great opportunity to work with your angels and guides and really connect with them to get that guidance, which has always been there. Do I see you in a relationship with the situation? And if I look at it right now, you're not really doing a lot of spiritual work, but if you did, it would change the timing on the whole thing. So it's about, right now, I get about 6 months. But I also feel like if you sit there and took the initiative, and I'm not saying you won't, I'm just saying from what I'm picking up right now, it's one of those things of asking for the guidance and then later on utilizing it. And I'm just saying after you get that guidance and you really open up to your guides and angels, find some books on meditations, find some CDs that help you to open up and relax and actually connect with your angels, because when you do, you definitely feel their presence. I just feel like once that work is initiated, then it changes, where it could actually be about 3 months. But when I said to give you timelines of 3 months, 6 months, I'm saying that's probably as long as it will take. I'm not going to say, well, 3 months from now, boom, you're in a relationship. No, there's going to be a lot of buildup. There's going to be a lot of things happening with the situation. I feel like you're going to have three guys come in your life that are going to be potential, but it's the idea of paying attention to the guidance that comes from your angels saying, okay, if the person can't tell you right off the bat that they want a relationship with you, then more likely it's going to be another waiting situation. We did enough waiting in the doctor's office. We don't need to be waiting for our relationships, okay? So it's the ideal realize. For example, I'll give you an example, okay, Michelle? When I met this girl last summer, we met to a company I was working with. She threw out some information that she would like to get to know me outside of this certain corporation, which I won't mention any names. And I said, if you're serious, I told her, I said, if you're serious, I said, I can't give you any personal information, but on this particular site, my name is Psychic X Journey, because the man wouldn't fit. So I told her, I said, what you need to do is take Psychic X Journey, add man to it, .com, and you should be able to find me on. And see, I do a radio show, so I just sort of fly. I do a radio show on Block Talk Radio, so put two and two together, and you should be able to send me an email. Okay? By the information and by the communication that we had, that's exactly what she did. She sent me an email through Block Talk Radio. She gave me her email address, and then next thing we started talking to each other. Okay? In the process of talking to each other on Yahoo, she says, do you have a webcam? I said, yes, I do have a webcam. She goes, well, can we actually talk and see each other on webcam? Of course we can. So see, the spontaneous part of this relationship, every time someone would say something, the other person would go through it. If the other person suggested it, we go through it. See, it's spontaneous. It keeps going on. There's communication going on. The two people are not scared to say, this is what I want. Not just a sexual thing, but to really want to know the other person. Because I even made a promise to myself when I saw this lady. She was a very beautiful woman. She still is. When I sat there and looked at her, I said, I want to see her. I want to feel the essence of who she is. There was a sexual presence too, but it was just part of it. It was part of the beauty. I don't know how to describe it, but you really didn't feel intimidated. And then when there were certain parts that you were fearful of, it was two people being verbal enough to actually sit down and say, this is the thing I'm kind of fearful of, or I'm fearful that when we do meet each other, maybe it won't be as intense as it is on Skype or the computer and that kind of stuff. And it was just one of those things of verbally communicating to each other to help us face those fears together. If you have a situation like that, then those are the things you're looking for. If you have a person who makes constant excuses why you can't do that, then excuse yourself from the situation. It's the idea of realizing that we're not responsible for other people's happiness. We're only responsible for our own. The more happy we are, more likely we're going to find that person, because like attracts like. If you're happy, happy, happy within yourself, you're going to attract the same kind of person too as well. If you look at the situation of bad mistakes, it was just the idea of not doing the work with yourself first before you met these other people, or maybe you just didn't know how to deal with it. because you didn't really take the time to actually acquire the tools and the information and the knowledge to deal with this person. But then if you would have done it, you would have came to the same conclusion too, that you don't need to deal with no one. Okay, because I've heard a lot of this. You can't follow your heart because there's some things you got to deal with. I'm sitting there going, what? I said, if you follow your heart, you'll find out there's those things that you thought you had to deal with, you don't have to deal with. It's the idea of being true and respectful to yourself to realize that happiness and self-love, they're one and the same. You have to be happy with you. You have to love yourself unconditionally before you can actually deal with anybody else. Because I guarantee you that when you unconditionally love yourself, you will attract somebody who will do the exact same thing. So therefore, there is no error for making a mistake. Because you don't make mistakes with yourself, do you? I'd hope not. When you said you want to do something for yourself. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to ask Dee, what was she going to say?
I agree.
Oh, you don't like what I'm saying to you?
Yes, she does.
Yeah.
No, I agree with him. If you don't love yourself, nobody else is going to love you.
If you don't
love myself.
You don't want to like it.
Good.
Okay. Then.
That's the first step, I think. You got to love yourself.
I think
yourself,
the biggest thing is
you're scared.
Yep.
Yeah.
You said
you're scared and critical of yourself.
Yeah. You're your own worst enemy.
Okay.
You're afraid you're going to make a mistake again. Been there, done that. Believe me.
And the thing I'm saying is, if you unconditionally love yourself, you don't. How we put this, when a guy comes in your life and he can't give you unconditionally his attention, his love, his life, when you love yourself unconditionally, you don't hesitate. You give to yourself unconditionally. What we're saying is that when a person walks and crosses your path who can't give to you unconditionally without some kind of expectations, that he's not the one. It helps you to eliminate and realize that you're not making mistakes. You're attracting certain people because of their reflections of certain things that are going on within you.
No strings.
So sometimes people cross your path just for the idea of seeing things about yourself, and you can see those things. So if you really look at the idea of right and wrong, making a bad or a good decision, and you start realizing you make a decision, you go down a path, you learn something. So the idea of right and wrong starts to fade away. And then you start realizing that good and evil, of course, you know, those things do exist. But at the same time, making a bad decision, you know, because a person didn't give you back what you wanted doesn't mean you made a mistake. It means that, like I've heard this before about people were talking about, well, how come I'm having a tough time moving on because I'm still in love with my ex? And I sit there and say, of course you are. They go, well, that's a problem. I said, no, it's not. You're making it a problem because you don't understand that the ideal of who you are. If you would understand who you are, you'd understand that probably everybody in your life you still love. You just realize it didn't work with them and you moved on. You also learn to respect that you're still being pulled. And more likely, if you're still being pulled, that means the person who wants to be with you is still pulling on you. That's why you still feel pulled to go forward. So it also helps you to realize that if the person that you're with is not pulling you to them just unconditionally, just by being yourself, that's another example too, that this can't be the person. Because if this was the person, there would be no question about the attraction.
I think there will always be questions in my mind, I guess, because I am critical of myself, and it's hard to trust yourself. I mean, my ex-husband, I am glad he's out of the picture. And, you know, for the first time in my life, I felt like I could be myself around Dave. Oh, mm-hmm. He knows who I am. I mean, I've never held back of who I am, and, you know, I could be me around him.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he just happened to be there at the moment when me and my ex split up. And
mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Well,
it's
a long story.
I'm just saying.
Short, I found out my ex was going in every single town to casual encounters on Craigslist and seeking out men and women and transvestites. And when I confronted him about it, he said, well, do you have proof? And I was like, well, yeah, I got proof. I said, I printed it off on the computer. And his excuse was, he was just curious. I can't live like that.
Bullshit.
I cannot live like that, and I don't want to be with him no more. I mean, he was dominating and controlling, and I loved him very much. I do. I hate the fact that my marriage failed. I do. I wish that it never had come to this, you know, because I did. There is a loving part of him, but I know in my heart that he will never change. And even if he does, I don't think I can forgive him, but I can never forget things that he did or the fear. Is he going to go to another man?
Right. Mm-hmm.
I believe in forgiving, but I don't think you should forget. Because if you forget, then you make the same mistakes again and again.
Right, and it'd be easy to go back to him because I forgave him. I mean, I forgive him, but I can't forget that part. You know what I mean?
No.
Right.
No, I think I can relate to you. You should see my ex-husband. I married a minister who's now wearing dresses. Legally entitled to do so. He had a sex change.
Oh, no. Oh, man.
He had a
and
sex
it's devastating.
Change. And it was.
Oh, my gosh.
He's married to a woman who wants to become a man. Go figure.
Oh, my gosh. But see, I think he screwed a man that looked like a woman, a transvestite. You know, and it just makes me sick that my kids are the ones that found it on the computer.
Right.
That's sad.
You know, and it just, so anyways, his mother was like my best friend, the guy that I'm kind of seeing right now, and she was my nanny. She was my nanny for my kids when I was over the road truck driver. And, and that was when I was telling you about the part that, you know, I was really horny. I told his mom, I'm like, hey, gum, I'm horny. She says, well, I'll call my son, you know. I was like, okay.
Wow.
And he really came down. He really came down and took me out to dinner, and we jumped in the sack, and that was the end of it. And all those years went by, and of course I never really saw him, but I always saw his mother, and you know, and his mother's always been there for me, and I just happened to go over every time I'd go over there to see his mother, I'd be bitching about my husband. And, of course, Dave was always there, and he's like, I hate that you're going through all this. And he'd hug me and say, I'm sorry that you're having to go through all this. And he was just always supportive, never made a pass at me, ever. When I took out the EPO on my husband, I asked Kathy if she'd come stay at the house because I didn't know what he was going to steal from me. And that was his mother.
Wow.
And his mother's like, well, I'll just send Dave over there, and I want you to know that man came to my house, and he never tried to sleep with me. Not too many men will do that. And I even told him, because he was my friend, I said, no, I don't even want sex from a man right now. I said, I don't want to be with anybody right now. And then just one day, him coming over here, I don't know what came over me, and I started getting attracted to him, you know. And and he was telling me about his ex-girlfriend, and, you know, and he's like, well, let's just hurt together. And he says, come here and let me hold you and hug you. and that's all we did. We just hugged, you know, and that was it. And then he still never tried to have sex with me. And I'm like, okay, what's up with this? Because years ago, we didn't have any problem jumping in sack. You know what I mean?
Sounds a lot like he's respecting you.
I was just
totally shocked. Because I remember telling him one time when we went out to Sonic to go get a drink, and I said, you know, because he was like my friend, and I wasn't sexually attracted to him at that time. And I said, I'm sick and tired of men just wanting me for sex. And he kind of told on himself. He says, that's why I won't have sex with you. And he says, don't get mad at me. He says, but I think you fell in love with the idea of having a marriage and not really knowing the person. He really made me think about that a lot, you know.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying with the situation I was playing. The thing I was saying the most was the idea that working with yourself and finding out, look at this thing, because usually when you meet the right person, it's a spiritual connection first, and the physical has a tendency to come in afterwards. Because I actually want to sit here and answer your question before I go into, because we really have a lot of people to get to. But I just wanted to sit here and really stress that the ideal of working on yourself, and when you sit here and look at the situation of answering your question about the the kind of relationship we want. I also get the impression of just really getting stern, putting your foot down, looking at this person and saying, you know, something just let down your guard and get back to actually fulfilling your own needs instead of focusing on what you think I need or don't need, because I can take care of that myself. A lot of guys
let down my guard.
Well, it's the idea of letting down your guards, therefore focusing and saying it's okay to get the fulfillment of my desires, and then telling him to do the same. Because people are sitting there going, well, you know, I want you to think I just want you for sex. Well, at this moment, I do. You see what I'm saying? The moments are what counts. So at that moment, then maybe that's what you do want. So it kind of counterproductive that he would hold back. So it's the idea of looking someone in the face and saying, don't hold back, just be yourself. This will help you be yourself, because that's what you're actually looking for, too, is a situation where you can be comfortable enough to be yourself.
So kind of tell him that he needs to be himself, too. Well, I really respected the fact. I respected him more than I think I ever have any man that he held back. I don't think I've ever been with a man that held back for 3 weeks.
I'm just saying, look at the guy and say, you know, thank you for respecting me, but today, please put that down, because there's certain other needs that need to be taken care of. So just move forward on the whole thing, okay?
Whoa.
So, you know, just put that down. I'm just saying that is focusing on, well, in this process, someone's focusing on one or the other when it has to be a continuous focusing on the whole thing. That's the idea of getting to know each other, especially if you are a sexual person. That's a part of you that's not being explored.
And I think he is, I think you're right, because I think he is a sexually active person, too. And I think he's holding back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're both afraid of doing the wrong thing.
Sit down and talk.
But right now, but with the idea of holding back and not fulfilling oneself, you are doing the wrong thing.
Oh, I got you.
It's all mutual. Think about this. The idea that we have a physical body and we also have a spiritual body, but they both exist on this plane, so they both have wants, needs, and desires that need to be fulfilled. And that's how you get balance within your life. To realize it's okay. Because if you're both attracting each other, more likely that explains a lot, that you're both, you know, like attracts like. So therefore, more likely if you're highly sexual, so is he. He just has to realize it in the process of going and getting what he wants. Since he's what, two? At this moment, since people have taken advantage of you in the past, but at that moment he knows he's not, and you know he's not. So it's just the idea of looking at each other going, okay, this is mutual. So, therefore, let's explore this whole thing. But I'm just saying, put it out there, too, that in the process of a commitment or relationship, that's okay, too. Because before you had these expectations, but those are no longer feasible with the situation. You just let it go. All righty?
All right. Y'all are wonderful.
Thank you.
Well, I laid it out on the line, wasn't I?
Yeah, so I'm just saying, with the situation, I'd love to sit down and do a private session with you. But if in the near future you don't really get a chance to sit down to get a private session, please call us back and give us an update on how things are going with you, okay?
Yeah, we'd love
I will,
to
honey. And thank you so much for y'all talking to me. You've helped me a lot ease my mind.
Good.
Well, you're welcome.
And I appreciate y'all letting me be honest.
No problem.
Go for it.
You have a great night, and have a nice weekend, or the rest of the weekend anyway.
Take care.
Alrighty?
Thank you so much. You too. Y'all too.
You're welcome. Bye bye now.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
I can introduce her ex-husband to my ex-wife.
I don't know. Maybe we should step out of that one. Just a bit. Let's go to our next caller, D. Let's go to our next caller. That would be it will be area code 814. 814. Welcome to the show. How are you? What's your name? And say hello to Dee.
Hi, Dee. Hi, Donnie.
Hi.
She's our co-host this weekend. Probably for a while, if she chooses to stick around. Because I think it's a really good format, and it seems like we got good rapport here. So
I enjoy it. I'm happy to stick around.
Okay. Alrighty.
You have
so, dear, I'm here. What did you say your name was?
Terry.
Terry, have you called us before?
Yeah, you helped me before.
And do you do runes?
I've been playing with them, learning them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you did a reading for Lori, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. No, I was just wondering, was it, the other thing I was wondering, too, it seems like that your connection seems like there's, I don't know if it's with, you know, with your mouth or whatever, but it seems like it's kind of muffled a little bit. I don't know what's happening on your head, but. Oh, okay.
I'm on my cell phone.
Are you trying to,
they told me
are you trying to be discreet? Are you hiding from somebody?
No. Well, everybody's sleeping. But they told me that I'm not
going to
use my home phone. So I'm fighting that out right now, but I'm on my cell phone. But everybody's sleeping, but I'm upstairs in a different room.
Okay.
I was just wondering if you could answer a question.
Mm-hmm.
Is my husband having an affair? Is my husband having an affair or?
Whoa.
So, Terry, what will make you think that? Did you do a reading? I was sitting here talking to Lori. I wasn't trying to cut her off or nothing, but I studied runes for a while. And when you really, if you try to do a lot of research behind runes, there's a lot. Mm-hmm. Runes can be really hard if you try to really put all the information and the history and everything into it. I had a little book, and I was just like, I was just overwhelmed with all the information. And what I did was I started doing rune readings where I would just as like I do with my cards. You put them down, you listen to the messages that are coming through with certain things like that. And I was actually really, one thing I will say too, that the people that were doing the rune readings and stuff like that, the accuracy with those things is baffling. Wouldn't you agree?
You know, I'm very shocked. I'm very shocked because I'm with me just starting, you know. They always...
Uh-huh.
Would give me time to get ready. They would do theirs, and then I would do mine. And but I already had mine pulled, and I would just pull one, but it always went with theirs.
Excuse me.
And Lori was the first person that I did a full reading for.
Reading on. Oh,
okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she
was just curious.
Yeah, she said just practice on her, and, you know, she didn't mind if I practiced with her. I've never pulled any for myself.
That's kind of funny you're calling, too, because I was actually looking up your number I written down that one night to call you to actually see if you want to practice on me, too, as well.
Oh, yeah, I can do that.
Okay, the question that you ask, I've been sitting here focused on it. I don't like giving bad news, but I feel like in this situation I'm going to have to. And I just feel like that when I sit here and focus on the question itself, is he having an affair? It's like it comes off as a yes, but not like an affair. I guess your interpretation would see it as an affair of anything outside your marriage. And I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying when I look at something as being an affair, that means that's a relationship outside the marriage. But what I see is just pure stress relief, I guess you would say. Try to be nice about that.
Mm.
Like he's looking for somebody else as not just sexual relief or stress relief, but it seems like there's, I don't know. I guess I would sit there and say there's a lack of communication with you two.
Oh, yes.
And I feel like he's looking for someone. It's like he's looking somewhere else for that communication, not realizing that's not the solution. That's just basically, that's actually ignoring the problem.
Because
I actually feel like that's how we put this. It's a person who thinks that you are the problem with communication when the person's not really looking at themselves.
Yeah.
And realizing, let's get real. When you have communication problems, communication cannot happen unless there's two people.
That's right. It's both of us.
Exactly.
Like we said, yeah. And the other day I was sitting here talking about this too, where people are sitting here going, you know, let's focus on the situation. I wasn't trying to take God out of it or love out of the situation. But the most important thing about a relationship is you. And that, and like I said before earlier in the show, what I mean by that is, if I said that, I've said it all day. I've done readings all day, okay? So if I didn't say it at the beginning of the show, I thought I did. Anyway, if you don't if you don't sit there and focus without you within the relationship, love is not given or received. It's not given or received. Mm-hmm. So that's why it was important, because love is, see, it's like, look at what's important. You can't really focus on the idea of love as being important, because love is something that happens. People talking about, I'm unlucky at love. No, you're not. You love. There's no unluckiness about the whole thing. It's the idea of the associations with certain people that it's not unlucky. It's just the idea you're not listening to yourself. You think you have, it's like when we're taught, when we're young, we're taught that there are certain things we have to deal with. I heard this one the other day where someone was talking about a soulmate. This person beats the shit out of me, but we're soulmates, so it's going to work out, right? But that doesn't mean you have to stay there.
No,
just because you're a soulmate doesn't mean you have to be stay there. It means the person's not respecting you in some sense of the word, or even the term soulmate, twin flames. They're not respecting those situations and realizing that there's spiritual connection. So it's like a disrespect to themselves, you, the spiritual part of the whole thing. And if you want to, you can take it even one step further of having lack of respect for God because of bringing you two together. So it puts a different perspective on it, doesn't it? That the idea of disrespect is just not you and being disrespected. It's the ideal. It's a chain reaction of all the other variables that are being disrespected because of what he's doing. So it's the idea of asking yourself, what are you going to do? Are you going to fall in the same category and start disrespecting yourself? Are you going to speak your mind and say, okay, this is what's going on? Because I always say, like when someone, like the one lady said, that you ask a question and the person starts saying, do you have proof that I'm messing around? I think by someone saying that, isn't that a proof enough? Why would someone have to say that?
Yeah.
Do you have proof?
Well,
yes, I do. I have a slide though, which I just sit down. Huh?
Yeah, I have a feeling.
I'm just saying, you already feel it within yourself anyway. It's the idea of going out and respecting yourself to find out the answers, of going to the source. And say, okay, this is what's going on. It's one of those things of telling someone to their face and saying, hey, this is what I'm trying to do. If there's hope for this relationship, is there a chance of even working through this and patching this relationship and keeping this marriage going? Or if there's something about the situation of you messing around that you feel like you need to go out there to basically deal with yourself and find the solution, because if that's what you think you need to do, then this union no longer exists. And you just want to know where you stand so you can also make choices for yourself, okay?
Well, I already made my choices. Is it somebody he works with?
What's that, sweetie?
So I know if it's somebody he works with.
See, the thing that comes to me the most is not the idea of who it is and what's going on. It's the idea of what's important and it's you and what's important. Because if you start focusing on her, it's like you're focusing on the wrong direction. Because realistically, she's not the problem. He is.
No, I'm not.
He's made the conscious choice to step out of the situation and do what he's doing. So we look at the situation. I'm just saying, when you start any kind of thought or energy put into her, it's almost like you're making a U-turn and going.
What's that? I just wanted to know where it was being done.
Okay. Well, I'll be honest with you. I don't know. Because they keep pointing out to me what's more important.
Pardon me?
That's the idea. It's like the idea. It's like this. If you know for a fact it is.
I don't know for
a realization. I'm just saying.
I don't know.
I get the impression. Yeah. Picture I see is you walking up to him face to face and say, okay, this is what I think. This is how I feel. And I just want you to acknowledge it one way or the other.
I already did that.
And what'd you get?
What makes you think that?
I didn't think he owned up to it. I didn't think he owned up to it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. See, the other thing, too, when he says, you know, what makes you think that, he's trying to find out how much you know.
Mm-hmm.
I say, you don't need to know. And the less you do know, the more it makes him curious, the more he's going to step out of the shadows and basically tell on himself. Because I just feel like a mix-up is going to happen here soon, and you're going to know beyond the shadow of the doubt without even asking.
I think it's somebody he works with.
I was such a and say, you know, someone, you say that, but the feeling that comes to me would confirm that. But like I'm saying to you, I don't get it, who it is. I've done this before, Joe. I've had people come to me and say, okay, I want to move my business. I said, okay, what you need to do with your business, you need to move yourself, and you're being, like I told them, that we're being pulled to a certain location, and you just need to follow through with it. And they go, okay, I just want to make sure that you're legit, so can you tell me what I do for a living? My angel said, who cares? You already know what you do for a living. What's important here is your location and following through with that. So, see, they were saying that we answer questions for people, but we only tell them things that they're actually focusing on or doing. We don't tell them things they already know. We're not here to confirm, to make you feel warm and fuzzy inside, that you are really talking to a legitimate psychic. It's the ideal they're trying to get you to look at you.
I'm just saying, I'm
not getting the information because it's not important. Okay. What's important is what you're going to do with your life and what direction you want to go into, because you can almost see you sitting in a chair, putting your Nikes on, definitely fixing to run the other direction. And you have all the right to do so. But you keep questioning it. You have to ask yourself, why you keep questioning it? I've heard this one too before, which drives me freaking up the walls when someone goes, I've been with this person for 10 years. I said, okay, dear, that's great, but it's not a job. You know, you don't have seniority. It's the idea of looking at a situation, what's going on now, not 10 years ago, not 2 weeks ago, but now, because that 10 years doesn't have a hill of beans of what's going on right this moment.
No.
There's no time frame, because you look. I'm just saying, look at the idea of perception of time in the first place. If you have enough time, you're right. If you don't have enough time, you're right. You see the perception? Whatever your perception is, you're right. So when you look at the situation and say, I need to walk away from the situation, that's how you feel right now. Then you have to honor yourself and your feelings and walk away from the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we have to sit here and think about it. Does it mean it's over? No. The answer is, what you need to do right now is walk away in favor of you.
Oh, no.
So you can actually clear yourself from the situation. No influences from him, friends, and that kind of stuff. You need time for yourself to look at yourself and go, okay, I know what to do, because I didn't have to call my friends before I, you know, when I went out with him for the first time. That was something I had to do on my own, and this is another situation I'm going to have to do the exact same thing.
Yeah, I just wanted to know if my light glasses, when I called you and confirmed that I got the
your suspicions are right. Have you asked this to me before? I thought we talked about other things last time we talked, right?
We talked about my job last time. I wanted you to confirm. You confirmed.
I was just trying to figure, do we also top on some subjects about your husband being?
Yeah, the
top 4. Yeah, the being nasty is. Anyway, huh?
So this is the third time that I spoke with you. And every time I talk to you, you always make me feel better.
All I can say is you're welcome. We all need that one, don't we?
I wish I knew
someone to pull.
You know, who it was.
Mm-hmm.
Because he blames it all on me and says that I've changed. I have changed. I've been married to him for 29. It will be 29 years in June. Of course I've changed. I got married when I was in, you know, I graduated 1 week, got married the next. I'm going to change.
Yeah, but you look at the idea of changes, too. If I would have knew you a year ago compared to now, totally different people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a good thing. You should also sit there and focus on the situation, like I said before. Look at the rooms, do your history, but sit there and put your rooms down and whatever resonates with you. Because, you know, when you sit there and talk about when we do angel card readings or any kind of card readings, actually we're tapping into our angels and guides and everything around us. And runes are just another tool. And sometimes we have a tendency, that's what I was doing, I was making it too complicated. When I just sit there and did it, it worked better.
And that's what I do. I just do it, and you know, and I don't know the meanings of them. I'll say, wait, let me look it up, you know, and stuff like that. So they'll let
me. Yeah, but
me
you're very gifted.
Them.
You're very gifted too. That's why I was saying it to you. You're very gifted. I get the thing that comes to me the most, the quickest, is clear. You're clear audience. You hear. You constantly hear. You hear your angels and your guys talking to you.
I see things too happen. I see things happen.
But when you're in stressful, what I'm saying, when you're in a stressful situation, your guidance comes through years quicker.
Yeah.
Okay. And when you have time to sit there and focus and meditate, you're right. You see things.
Mhm.
How do you? How do I know that? I'm psychic. Anyway.
Yeah.
You figured that one out, did you?
I'm just saying, I have people call me on the psychic line, and they're like, how'd you know that? I said, did you not call 1-800-PSYCHIC? And she goes, oh, that's right. But it's amazing how people get caught up in things like that. Right now, I'm kind of excited because I just saw Doreen Virtue has a deck of tarot cards, angel tarot cards is coming out. I don't know if they're coming out. They've already come out. But I just ordered, she also has the romantic angel, the romance angels cards. I just got those. And, the thing I've been picking up a lot, too, about cleansing, I've got this book. I can't really give you any details until I get it. But basically what it is, it's a 21-day consciousness cleansing. And it's like a subconscious consciousness. And I was sitting there going, I felt like it was, for some reason, I was on Amazon looking for the angel cards, right?
Yeah.
And this book just kind of jumped off the page. I'm like, I think I have to get this book. So I did. And the first part, well, I always tell people, go with the flow, right? And you'll see signs. And sometimes signs are just signs. And you have to pay attention. I ordered that book, and I ordered the angel cards, the romance angel cards. Well, when the order was done, the price on it was $22.22. And I was like, see, the one thing I keep seeing all the time, I've been seeing a lot today, is 22s. I see 22, and I was also picking up a date this month too, of February 22nd. And what I did was I got the sign, but something told me to just, okay, if the more I let go of it, the more I detach from it, the more it's going to happen. So then I got that order, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Amazon sent me a thing back saying that my order had gone through, so it was 22-22, and I was like, there it is. And when you look at the order form, it's kind of funny, too, because you actually, I always tell people, watch when you start seeing numbers in threes. You'll see 22, then you'll walk down the street, you'll see 22 again, or you look at your watch, you'll see 22 after. So you've seen it three times. So it's your angel saying, pay attention, because things always happen in threes. So I was sitting there looking at the page. If you look at the page as I ordered it, it's got 22-22 down at the bottom. It's got 22-22 at the top, and then where you ordered the whole thing, it was 22-22. So I was like, uh-oh. The funny thing about it, what I'm trying to stress to everybody is, okay, what happened was Amazon sent me back a thing and said my book was sent to me, but for some reason they put the cards and the book on two different orders. Now, if they would have kept them on the same order, my credit card would have picked it up and would have been no problem. But since the one picked it up, was left me with no credit, and then the other one kicked in, it didn't accept it. So, see, some people have a tendency when they see a sign like that with a 22-22, if they didn't get the order or something didn't happen in the situation that they could consider negative, they don't take the sign seriously. And what I'm saying to you is the sign is a sign. You saw it. So it definitely has influence on your life. It definitely has influence as an answer for you. Just because there was something with it that you might perceive, so that's your perception, of saying it's negative. When it's not negative, it just happened in a different way, because what happened later on, 20 minutes, about, what was it, 2 hours later, I realized I still had some money in my, I have a checking account and a saving account. They're attached to each other. So if I have problems with finance, I just take the money from the savings account, and I could put it in the checking account, and I end up ordering the angel cards later on. So see, I still got both orders. So see how it worked out. So we sit here and start making if we can, right now it's 12:22. So And then this morning it was 22 degrees, and I was sitting there going, okay. So I'm just saying, when you see signs, don't get caught up in the whole thing of trying to analyze it. Just sit there and say, they're telling you something, which when you start seeing signs like that, it's in the process of whatever's going on is in the process of happening. So the best thing to do is just to start taking a nice relaxing bath or some kind of way of relaxing and say thank you for the sign and moving on. So therefore the manifestation, there's nothing that's going to block it from happening. Okay? You need to make a decision to do what you got to do.
So what you're telling me is it didn't happen yet.
What's that?
But it's going. It didn't happen yet, but it's going.
Yeah. I also feel like with the situation, if you just, it's like separating yourself from the situation, separating from your husband, separating from just the issues, and finding some time for yourself. I don't care if it's 2 hours in the morning where you just completely forget everything exists and focus entirely on you. I think when you do that, I do feel like that in some sense, the word with the situation with your husband, there are going to be choices that are going to be presented to you that you can actually walk away from this thing in favor of actually having someone who appreciates you. I'm just saying, look at the situation of a person. I'm just saying, a person doesn't appreciate you. It's the idea that you're not appreciating yourself in some sense of the word. Maybe you're not honoring yourself. Like I said before, I feel like you're very gifted to the point where you, when it comes to runes and abilities and that kind of stuff, you should be throwing yourself into them and always finding time for those. Because the more time you find for your gifts, the more you're actually finding time for yourself.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Dee, did you find anything?
At the moment, I'm just sort of, I'm not picking up anything really more than what he said. I'm going to have to agree. You do need to take time for yourself. You need to honor yourself.
Yeah, Ruth. I'm sorry.
Honor
there,
yourself
Ruth?
As a person.
Beach.
What?
Yeah. Honor yourself. No, I was, for some reason, Ruth came out. Anyway.
Neither one of us are Ruth.
I'm just saying, I just said Ruth's name. I was like, okay, where'd that come from? I meant to say D. What you need to do is sometimes I feel like, not trying to be self-centered or nothing, but I just feel like sometimes people around me have a tendency to get caught up in what I'm saying, so they're not focusing on anything they're doing. and sometimes
Bingo.
It's kind of hard to actually, I'm just saying, with a situation, like you look at it like this too, Terry. Like attracts like. So the gifts that we have, you have those gifts too. And all I'm saying is take the time to really find those gifts. Because I feel like in some sense of the word, I know you have some expectations of what you want to do with your life. I just feel like those gifts are going to have a whole lot more to do with it than they do now.
Okay.
Do you see a box? Yeah,
it's like
seeing a box. It's like looking at a box. You had three boxes. Okay. You've already opened three of them. And you have a fourth one that's going to actually open up to tie them all together, to realize it. Like when we talk about the four clairs, clairaudient, clairsentient, claircognizance, clairsentient. And then there's always that one variable, our angels, and have a tendency to tie those together. But some people want to emphasize, well, I can see things. But if they really pay attention to their lives, they'll notice each situation that they confront, sometimes the reason you have more than one ability or one gift is because they're utilized with each individual situation that you're confronted. And then you find out sometimes you use two, three, sometimes you use four, and sometimes it's just good enough to use clairvoyancy or clairaudience and that kind of stuff. But see, you're learning how to utilize those things in each one of these situations. That's what we say. I always tell people, don't look at these gifts as something that could be putting you in the category of being a victim. You know, these things, I don't know if these things are a curse. It's to realize that when we start fighting these things, that's when we start looking at them as a curse. Because we're fighting it. We're fighting something that's natural. When you start looking at the situation and realize, what's that, sweetie?
I was. When I was younger, I was fighting it. Because, you know, my family didn't like me anyway. And if they knew that I saw stuff, then, you know, they really wouldn't.
Yeah, I was telling my friends. Yeah, I told my friend, I said, you need to sit there and utilize your gifts. You need to take a look at them and find the strength within them. When you find the strength, you find the strength within yourself. And so, because I told my friend, I put a different title on it. Like when people sit there and look at me and say, you know, when you have your empathic abilities, I call them spidey sense. Because I identify with a character that utilizes his spidey sense basically to keep himself from getting himself in trouble. So when I shake someone's hand or I do certain things, I was really working there for a while, too, of just touching objects and stuff like that. But sometimes it got a little intense. I had some lady touch me on the leg one day who was going through a lot of stress, which gave me migraines. So it's the idea of learning how to utilize the strength within them, too, but also learning how to protect yourself from certain people, that you don't have to take on that energy if you're not ready for it or if they're really over the top. But you can still confront them. It's just acquiring a different kind of different protection with each individual, you know?
I wouldn't confront her at all.
You what?
I would not confront her at all. What I would do is pack up my stuff and walk out the door.
Okay.
That's all I would do.
That's what you want? That's why you want confirmation?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just saying, Sri, I pick up the whole thing, I'm not really picking up anything. I'm just saying I'm confirming your suspicions. And I think that if you just open yourself, I think if you open yourself up and actually see things that I think you've already seen, you'll know who it is.
I think I do know who it is. I think
you do.
He works with. It's somebody he works with. And she's blonde.
And you've actually met her face to face.
Yes, I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke to her. And my son has spent time with her kids.
Yeah, and you've also been around her. When you're around her, and you,
I haven't been around.
When I said you look, I see. I know, but I'm saying when you was around her, you felt like there was more to it. You just couldn't put your finger on it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm just saying. I just felt like when he said, "What makes you think that?" I feel like he was just fishing to see what you know.
Yeah.
I really do. And with that note, I really like to. I don't like pushing people down the road, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. I talked to Lori tonight, and she said that you will give me the truth. She said Donnie will give you the truth.
Yeah, she's gotten kind of mad at me for some things I've told her, but yeah.
She said he will give you the truth. She said call him tonight and ask him, he'll give you the truth. She said, but if you're feeling
it. Okay, mm-hmm.
But, I'm on Skype, and this is my cell phone. If you have the number from last week, it's probably my house phone.
Okay, so which one do you think, which one should I call?
You can call the house tomorrow.
Okay, so I got that number, okay?
Yeah, he works 6 to 6.
Okay, no problem then. I'll do that.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't mind focusing on you if you don't mind.
What's that?
I don't mind practicing on you if you don't mind.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last time I said dad was we playing tennis. Anyway, people go tennis. And you like playing tennis? I said, I guess you didn't catch that, did you? Anyway, some people are not too, they don't like, you try to be subtle. Well, it doesn't work. So I guess
I'm not the brightest crayon in the box.
Yeah, but you're still in the box. So, hey, it's okay. You know, I always tell people, maybe you're not the brightest crayon in the box, but see, when people pick you up, they can still be creative with your talents and your abilities. Because you are one of the colors in the scheme of things, so.
Yeah.
Always remember that. You're a gift just like everybody else, so therefore when people don't see you as such, doesn't mean you have to associate with them anymore, does it?
No, it doesn't.
They lost that appreciation. So they also lose the privilege of being in your company.
Yeah. And see, the last week when I called for confirmation on the job, that's one of the reasons why I called. You have to have a job before you can move out.
Well, I could argue with that one because I've had things happen differently, but I can understand your perception.
I can't live in my car.
Huh?
I can't live in my car.
Sweetie, I didn't live in my car either. It was just making a decision. And so, you know something? I've noticed that one thing. When I continue to move forward, opportunities that I never saw before present themselves. It's because I keep moving forward. When I was sitting there telling a friend of mine, I said, I sit here and tell you guys stories. They're not just stories. There are things that have actually happened to me that actually baffled me at the time, but they did happen. So the idea of being homeless was my perception, because the world says if you don't have certain things, this is what happens to you and that's where you wind up. But when you change your perception and say, okay, what if I manifested somebody who would be in a situation of giving me something that would actually benefit me until I could actually get on my feet, but also give me the independence I'm looking for. See, mm-hmm. It's a way of constructing that affirmation to get that outcome. Because the biggest thing I used to do is I wouldn't let myself get caught up in situations. So, okay, here I am walking up the sidewalk. I didn't say I didn't want to be homeless, because, see, in the process of focusing on not being homeless, I was still utilizing the word homeless. So that was being emphasized, which was probably going to attract me more homeless situations. So what I did was, the person said, what do you want? Well, I didn't the person. I should say my angels. They were like trying to get me to clarify and define. And I said, I would like to have a nice hotel room where I could have my, so I could lay my head on a nice soft pillow. And then I listened to my guidance, which led me to a hotel where that night, that's exactly what I was doing. It was amazing, too. It was like an older hotel. They had those big, thick doors. You ever seen the doors? They're in three layers. They look like those medieval doors with the big hinges.
Oh.
Well, this is what this
like
hotel was. Yeah, this is what this.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is like this hotel was. And you walk into this you walk into this little thing, right? It's a very old hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I walk into this place, and it had this big queen-size bed. And it was just, everything was just plush, you know? You kind of sunk into it.
Ooh.
And it was nice. I had this nice pillow. And it was kind of amazing, too, because I did kind of have a tendency to argue with the situation. Because I was sitting there going, I don't want to, because at first I started saying, well, I only have $17. How can I get a hotel room? And they're like, miracles are things that defy reality. So therefore, what we're going to do is you're going to get a hotel room. It's going to defy what society tells you. So you'll start understanding that when you listen to society, you're basically setting yourself up for failure. When you start listening to yourself and your guidance is when you get the success that you're looking for. So I said, okay, let's argue. And I said, I'm not going to argue. And they said, well, you started to. I said, no, I didn't. Okay, maybe I did. You know, it's like step back. Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. And I did. I walked up in there. And I told everybody before, I said, when you make one good decision, it's usually a chain of things that are going to happen in a positive way. Because if you notice, when you make a bad decision, it's always a chain of bad events that happen to you. So what we're trying to do is take you in the what-if situation, but on a positive side. And that's what we did. I mean, it was kind of crazy. I sit there and I walk in this hotel, not even thinking about the whole thing at first. And then all of a sudden I did come back and think about it, going, okay, why this particular hotel? Because there's hotels all up and down that strip. It's a tourist place. It's a very beautiful tourist place, but it was interesting that it set me up for a chain reaction to where I actually got my first shot. I just didn't see it happening. And even this lady that rented me this hotel room was actually even part of that. She actually ran into the woman who rented this shop out that I actually declared a year before that I wanted to rent and actually do readings, that this other lady had rented this out. And that lady, and actually her husband became my landlord later on in an apartment I got. They just had me walking around. They met this lady who had rented this shop out, and she was the one that recommended me to even work in that shop, which actually set me up with a really opportunity to, I think it was either a month or a month and a half later, where I had an opportunity to actually own half that shop. I became part owner. We became partners in that whole thing. In all these situations, no money was exchanged, except for I owned half this shop. We were partners. That meant we had a paper. We drawn up a paper that said I was part owner, we were partners, and it was on paper. But see, when you make a declaration of wanting to do those things, we need to look at them for what they are to realize it doesn't matter what kind of format they're happening. when you still look at him, it is what it is. You own half a shop. Once, and as long as you pay your bills, as long as you sit there and focus on the situation and work together on the whole thing, you are part owner. So it's like one of those things like that. And that's what I'm saying. I could not wait to call this one lady who told me I had to go all through all this stuff to even to consider getting that position of owning half a shop. And when that all happened and the transaction was done, this one lady who told me it would never happen like that, I had to call her up and show her. I said, "You need to come to my new shop." And she's like, "Your new shop?" "That's right." I said, "My new shop. So come on up and I'll take you a tour of my little shop here." So I brought her up there and I introduced her to my partner. And so we're both partners in this whole shop here and that kind of thing. And she was like, and then one person asked me how much it cost me. And I said, "Here's the kicker for you. I just had my eyes open for the opportunities that fell in my lap. Because I actually got, when I got the hotel room, I didn't get the hotel room just for one night. I got it from Wednesday to Friday. And of course, when I got paid, I paid for 2 weeks. And then I think I was there for like 2 or 3 months. But the point was that the opportunity came first, then the money came afterwards. So therefore, the opportunity that I took advantage of, I could keep. And I did. I kept it as long as I needed to do it. When I got my first apartment, I really wasn't in a position to actually financially to get an apartment. But as the way things fell into place, an opportunity came to me where I actually moved into this freaking apartment. And I think in 2 months, all I had to pay, realistically, was $99 for a deposit. Ooh. So if you look at the situation, take all the limitations off of it, okay? Huh?
Yeah, he keeps all the money. I have, like, no money.
I'm just saying, all these negative situations, I want you to be very creative, which you are, and turn these all into positives. Use them as leverage to get what you want. When he says you can't do something, the one thing that really irritates people is when you prove them wrong. And he's one of those people.
He's one of those people, and he gets really irritated when I say, you know, I'm going to get that job, I'm going to get that job, and he keeps saying, oh, really?
Yeah, because you take one, I guess we can look at the situation as a controlling person, and every time you have one of these little situations that you do, it takes that one little variable away from him. Which he doesn't realize you're not taking anything away from him at all. You're just basically living your life. And you're just
myself.
Taking advantage of opportunity. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, he and my son both said how stupid I was for calling.
Yeah, I know. I mean, when it comes to situations like that, you got to look at people going, why would they say something like that? Unless it was, I mean, seriously, you look at the thing going, okay, it had to be something with jealousy in that situation. That's the only way you can really realistically look at that. Why would
because
anybody who cares about you? I'm just saying, anybody who really would care about you to look at your own strengths and realize that you deserve whatever you go after, it just really makes you weird. Look at a thing going, why would someone do that?
Yeah. They're not allowed to call me driving to and from work. Because it's an hour one way.
Oh, really?
I told them
that's
neither one are allowed to call me.
Right.
But he won't be calling me anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, I would just take these situations. We got a couple more callers I really want to get to.
Yeah.
I would just definitely. Every time I look at these situations, I see it as like a leverage or. You ever seen one of those pokers with a fire where you can actually use it as a way to pry things open? That's what I see.
Yeah.
It's like all these little things are just pry bars, leverage to get you what you want. That one of these days you're going to be walking away from this whole thing of actually them coming to you and apologizing for the things they did. And really, realistically, when I look at this marriage, I hate to say this, I just don't really see this marriage really, I guess I have to say the words, lasting.
No, it's over.
It's
you
just
get
the
married
idea.
When you're that young.
You what?
When you get married that young, you know, it's true. You shouldn't get married that young.
Well, like I was talking to G and a bunch of other people, one thing I want to sit here and stress to everybody, we also have to look at the situation of your perception and what you're in. So your reality says this is what marriage is, and this is what happens when you marry this young, because that's how you perceive it, because when you were that young, you wasn't really ready for this situation. But we really can't put that kind of limitations on anybody else, because I've seen other people who have actually gotten married as young as you are, who are still in love and still have a great relationship. So, you know, it has to be done on individuality. And personally, I'm not trying to denounce anybody. I'm just saying from what I've experienced myself. I've actually was thinking about calling my brother up, who's married to my ex-wife, and thanking him for taking that freaking load off my mind. But
holy cow.
I sit here and looked at what B. But I was sitting here talking to D. D was talking about, you know, I think you should forgive but never forget. But see, if you don't forget and let it go, that could also work against you of actually accomplishing any future relationships because, yeah, you're carrying that with you. And we're not going to sit here and say one thing about it. I think everybody needs to learn how to let go, but some people do hang on to it longer than they should. But realistically, that's also my perception that says they're hanging on to it too long. But actually, they let it go when it was feasible for them to do so. So you see how it works? That's why I always sit here and say, I always love the Bible when the Bible says you shouldn't judge. And realistically, what it's saying is, you can't really sit there and look at someone's life and have any kind of anything about that unless you're actually looking at that person's eyes and living that experience in that moment, that time. You just can't. You can see it from a point of view, of course, but to actually really give someone advice about those situations, I think you should just give them a little bit of information about yourself, the experiences you've gone through. Maybe it'll give them motivation, maybe a little bit more motivation to actually let go of some things, but can we honestly really say that they know how they feel? Unless, I think you are too. Aren't you too also, Terry, of an empath too as well?
A little bit, yeah.
Debatable?
I
just need more confidence to bring it out.
Pardon me? More confidence?
I said you just need more confidence to bring it out. I think you're more empathic than you realize you are.
Yeah, my confidence level has dropped severely.
Well, on that note, Terry, I'd love to get. There's some other people I really want to get to.
I want you to get to them too.
And then tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, my son, in the afternoon would be good.
Okay.
If
then
you're free
then. And really go in some depth here, too.
Yeah, because you're on
I'm in
PA.
Probably.
Yeah, I'm in PA. So
we're close. Okay.
Yeah.
All righty.
So, yeah. All right, yeah.
Well,
and, if you need the number, Lori can give it to you.
No problem there. I'll do that.
All right.
Oh, you're welcome.
And
I'll talk to you tomorrow, okay?
Okay.
All righty now.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. Let's see. Well, okay. I was just sitting there looking at those things again. It's amazing how time really does fly by, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just want to remind everybody out there, it's 12:45 here on the East Coast, Ohio, broadcasting from Circleville, Ohio, one of the nicest places I recommend you never come to. Anyway, also with the situation.
Right.
I'm Psychic X Journeyman. I'm your host. This is Psychic X Journeyman, Spiritual Link. That's my show. Welcome. We're doing readings and stuff. If you want to give a call in here, we still got like 14 minutes. Give us a call at 646-721-9031. If you want to get a private reading from me, take advantage of my 7-card angel readings and my really good prices we're having right now until the 22nd, give us a call at 740-500-8863. The number again is 740-500-8863, or call me through Skype. I also do fantastic palm readings. And if I could just see a picture of your palm, you could also fax me one if you want to, if I had a fax machine, but I don't. So that's something, a futuristic thing. But I can do one on Skype. So give us a call on Skype at 740-601-9835. Or contact me through my website, which all the information is on there, which is www.psychicxjourneyman.com. And you can also, like I said before, go on the website. You can also submit your information through the contact page, and I will definitely get back with you as soon as I get that information. Also, what's that, sweetie? Go ahead. Did you say something, Dee?
No, I didn't.
I clicked a button and actually we're talking to somebody. I think it's a private line, a private number. And I just want to sit here and say, welcome to the show. How are you? What's your name?
It's
a 11111 private number.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello.
Hi. Can you hear me?
What's your name?
My name.
Yes, we can.
Hi, my name's Teresa.
Your name is
Teresa.
What? Teresa.
Yeah, okay, Lisa. Yeah, Lisa.
Lisa. Okay.
Yeah, you've called before.
Mm-hmm.
You've called before, haven't you, Lisa?
Yes.
Okay, how can we help?
I am calling to ask a question about I guess he would be considered my boyfriend at right now. Also, we have a kid together, and we've been together for a long time, about 10 or 11 years now, or 12 years now, and the relationship with him and his mother, his name is Dee, by the way, the relationship with him and his mother was always strange, you know, so I wanted to, you know, uh-huh. get an understanding of the relationship, and, you know, we're trying to mend things back together, and I'm not sure, you know, why this woman has an issue with me being with her son. I guess she feels like, you know, how some, you know, women are, they feel like no one is, you know, good enough for their son, you know.
Exactly.
Type of thing. So, you know, I just wanted to know if that would ever change, you know, if she would. You know, because there's a lot of things that go on between us that she just doesn't know.
Uh-huh.
And so I think that, you know, it's like she'll, you know, kind of put it like, okay, for instance, we have been separated for a while. And, you know, as soon as, you know, they're noticing that he's starting to spend more time away, and I guess she figures, you know, he's getting back with me, and so now she wants to try to, you know, pull this, well, you know, you never call me. Well, he barely goes to his mom's house often or whatever. So, but anyway, now that she sees that he's spending extra time away, then she's trying to, you know, make some kind of effort to, you know, pull him back in and say, oh, well, you don't spend time with me as much as you should, and, you know, so I just wanted to, you know, understand what is it, you know, because, I mean, in all reality, the child that I have is her grandchild, and, you know, I don't feel like she makes any kind of effort to have a relationship with my daughter, so it's like, uh-huh. what is it that she has against me, and, you know, will that ever change? Is it that she feels her son is I'm, you know, not good enough for her son? Or what is the deal with that? I'm trying to have some understanding, if you can provide some clarity for me on that.
That's what it sounds like to me.
No problem.
She reminds me of my ex-mother-in-law.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah?
My late ex-mother-in-law. Nothing. You're never going to do anything that's good enough. To me, it sounds jealous. She sounds like she's very jealous. She's very possessive. That's her baby boy. And nobody should have her baby boy. No, that's just
she's not close to him. But as soon as she sees him, you know, trying to make an effort to be back with me, then that's when she wants to, you know, try to bogart and come back, you know, and say, hey, well, what about me now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, like you said before, when we talk about jealousy big time, it's the idea of realizing that the person who's jealous is because they're seeing things that they would like to have and things that they probably have neglected too. So they see, when they see someone else getting those things, it's a reminder too that they could have had if they would have actually opened themselves up to the possibilities in the first place. When I sit here and look at the situation very closely and keep saying to me over and over again, don't get caught up in this whole scenario of thinking you're not good enough, or she's saying that you're not good enough for your son. It's
nice.
It's more of a person who doesn't care. All she wants is, you know, she wants to control the situation because she really has no control, and she really doesn't get the attention from him that she would want, because in some sense of the word, she don't feel like she deserves it. So someone else getting it, she doesn't feel like they deserve it either. So you can see the reflection there.
Why don't they have a close relationship, though? What is the issue? Does it go way back?
His father passed away, okay.
And she married a man or whatever, and he's not too nice to him. You know, they don't get along, so... And she never steps in and says, hey, you know, you're going to treat my child with more respect than that. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. I'm just saying, sweetie, you got to sit here and look at the situation like this, okay? They've already lived their lives to the point where this is where they're at right now. The idea of understanding, it's not going to change that. Okay? The idea of what you want from her to give you this attention to your daughter is to realize that you can give your daughter that attention, and then just think about it and focus on that. You know, focus on your daughter, because you sit here and look at the situation realistically. The mother here is not focusing on her son. She's focusing on her own needs.
Bingo.
Okay? So we look at the situation and go, okay, does it matter why she's the way she is? The thing is, she is that's just the way she is. She's not going to change anytime soon. And like I said before, the attention that you want for her to give your daughter, she's not going to give it, because she can't. For one reason, is she's focusing on other things of her own insecurities, so she can't. But when you sort of look at it yourself, that's what I'm saying, when you look at it and you go, okay, what is this? What kind of reflection would that be coming back at me? It's showing that what she can't do, you can make a difference with your own child, since she hasn't done that with hers. And now when she sees her child with somebody else, this is when she tries to make it up, not realizing he's not a little boy anymore. And all she's doing, realistically, is being disrespectful to him and his life and the people in his life. So what can you do about it? Nothing.
How does he feel?
You can't
how
do
does
anything.
He take, I always wonder, how does he take that, knowing that his grandmother is always trying to intervene in our relationship, and then he really doesn't, when it boils down to it, he really doesn't know how to defend me when it comes to them? You know, or if he does, it's a problem with him. Well, you are always taking up for whatever. So I always wonder how he felt, what his perspective is on the whole thing.
It's like, look at this way, sweetie. Really, to help the situation out is the ideal of seeing actually getting any kind of angry with him at all. Because being in that position, it's a hard one. Because...
Right.
You're always feeling like you're in the middle. You're trying to please everybody. And when you sit here and look at the situation, he really reflects his mother, doesn't he? Because his mother is not really honoring. She's being self-centered and focusing on her needs, but she's not really fulfilling those needs. She's not really asking herself what she wants. Okay? And then if you look at her son, he's in the middle. So he's not really asking himself what he feels he should do. He's trying to please you. He's trying to please her. He's trying to please everybody. He doesn't realize if he really focuses on himself and pleases himself and realizes what he wants, everything else would probably smooth out a little bit more. And the point of actually looking at his mother and saying, you know something? Mom can take care of herself, and so can you. In the situation, look at these situations, and say, what should you take up for me? Well, I think realistically what you would really want is the ideal of just what you got. And the ideal looking at it realistically and say, okay, support. I just want him to support me. And you feel
there
like
you
sometimes
go.
When he's taking up for her, he's not supporting like you want him to. I'm just saying with the situation of trying to see it from his point of view, it's a hard situation to try to sit there. This is his mom. You're the person he loves. This is a lot of whack out situation. Even the idea of you two not being together for a period of time that you wasn't probably could have been, in some situations, caused by her. But realistically, it was just him separating from everybody because he couldn't deal with it. You know, after you have that much stress on you constantly, all you really want to do is run away. He doesn't realize the easiest thing to do is, well, I'm just saying the easiest thing for him to do, you're right, the easiest thing for him to do is put his mom in her place. But don't look at him, don't look at him any less because he doesn't take up for you. Because that's your perception of what you think he should do. I'm saying take a step back and look at it through his eyes. You know, he doesn't want to disrespect his mom. He doesn't want to hurt your feelings. So he's caught in the middle trying to figure, okay, what should I do? When he makes a choice, he's just trying to make a choice and hoping it all calms down and relaxes.
So you
all right?
Think he's ready to make that choice to say, hey.
Oh, that was not good. Don't you hate when we get cut off on certain things? It drives you crazy. All these touchy buttons. Hello, area code 563. Let's go to you, and how you doing? Welcome to the show, and how are you? We also got like 60 seconds left. We got 60 seconds left in the show. I'm going to sit here and sit down with the person we just brought on the show and ask and answer their questions, but I want to thank everybody for being here. Thank you for all the people listening. Thank you for support. Please donate to the show and help us support this and keep this format going on so we can continue to keep this message out and keep doing these shows so you guys can have a place to come to get the readings. Not just a couple minute readings, but really get the full extent of the answers that you're seeking. And I just want to say to everybody, thank you for all being here. Thank you for all the callers. And may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day. I also want to say thank Dee for being here to help us answer the questions as well. And on that note, give love where love is given. Thank you. And let's go to area code 563 and answer some questions. What do you say?
Sounds like a plan.
Are you there?
Hello. Yes. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you? And what's your name?
My name is Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Karen, where are you calling?
Hi.
Okay, where are you calling from, Karen? What?
I'm calling from Illinois.
Ah.
Illinois. That's pretty close to me, too. I'm in Ohio. You're like the next state over. Anyway, how can we help you tonight?
I do see somebody coming into my life, male.
Let us put on the future goggles and see what we can see, okay?
My first response is, yep.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I am romantic, what can I say? But I do, I think.
Right.
I think yes.
That's
when
good.
I look at the situation, I would definitely say yes, and I also feel like the situation is going to be soon. See, when I start to tell people, I try to be where I don't want to joke about it, because just asking the question, will I have somebody in my life? I've actually told a couple of clients, no, you won't. And they go, what? I said, yeah, think about the question you just asked and how realistic that is. Just sit there and say to yourself, like I told one lady we were talking to earlier in the show, is this a sign that maybe you really don't believe that you can actually have that relationship? And she said, well, I do. I said, but look at the question you asked. Will I? I'm saying, take that question and come up with a positive answer for yourself and ask yourself, do I believe that a twin flame or maybe a person that I could actually have the same things in common and compatibility, is that really possible? And the answer is yes, of course. I'm just saying you have to believe that within your heart too and say, okay, this will make it a whole lot easier to manifest it. And people will say, well, you can't. If I hear this freaking comment one more time, I'm going to scream. To have somebody sit there and say, you know something? I don't want to sit there and work against somebody's free will. I'm sitting there going, excuse me? And the process of manifestation and affirmation is to clear the blocks to meet the right person. And when you sit there and say, I don't want to mess with someone's free will, you're not messing with anybody's free will when you sit there and focus on affirmations and focus on what you want, of actually wanting it now. It's the idea of asking heavens and the angels and everybody involved that I'm ready. That's what you're saying. I'm ready for a relationship. So therefore, if I'm ready, then pretty much the person that I'm actually magnetized to as my twin flame soulmate more likely is ready too. It's just the idea that sometimes a barrier or a block could be simply getting past the fear of taking the steps forward to actually meet each other. And with you, Karen, what I keep picking up on is we're talking soon, big time. But like I tell everybody else, when I sit there and say work on yourself, get some books on affirmations, get some books on relationships, soulmates, it's just the ideal of when we go get a job, don't we do the research on companies that we go apply for, so we know a lot of information when we walk through the door, so we have a better chance of getting that job? What's the difference of doing the same thing with when your guidance takes you down the road and says, okay, let's go get some books. Oh, let's look at some magazines. Oh, let's start a collage. Or let's start a vision board. And all of a sudden you're guided to pick up pictures of these couples. And when you look at the picture, you see yourself with your soulmate. And all they're doing, trying to do, is help you create a focus board. So therefore you have a focus point that brings you two together. So with you, Karen, so I'm talking about the idea of the book. I want to sit here. It's almost like we're doing a show here, right? And the book is The Soulmate Secret. The Soulmate Secret by Ariel Ford. Get it on Amazon.com. That's where I got mine. And what's so good about the book is it's great. You know, why is it good? Because it actually tells you that in the process of focusing on things, let's say that you have some things in the past and you keep attracting guys who are still married. What the book helps you do is to let go and realize that there could be a fear within you that you're still attached to. Is that why you're attracting men who are still married to their problems? It's just in a physical form than it is with your emotionals. So what the book helps you do is it helps you to clear the clutter, so therefore you don't have to mutter. Okay? And then you can meet your significant other's mother. Anyway,
I'm just saying. I'm a poet, and I know. Yeah. I hope I don't blow it.
All right. Yeah, exactly. Sew it. So when you get a rip in the fiber of life, you sew it. Anyway,
okay,
I'm just
saying, then.
Situation. Yours is coming. Yours is coming soon. I just feel like that book would be very helpful of actually keep you moving forward. It also, see, the reason I like the book is it helps you realize within your heart that your twin flame, your soulmate, whichever you like to put the title on there, they say soulmate. And it's a bit, you know, I think it's another thing of perception too. But anyway, if you're looking for your significant other, I think we can all agree with that one. Everybody uses that word quite a bit.
Yeah.
That when you sit here and focus on it, the idea of any kind of tools or any kind of affirmations or whatever you can get would just speed up the process, make sure you're going to get it. Like the one I was saying before. When I sit here and said in this book here, okay, when I was sitting here talking about this thing and I pulled up this affirmation, which I just had it here too. Don't you hate that? I just had it. It was just right here, I swear. I was telling some people yesterday, I want you to say this to yourself. I am loved. I am lovable. I am love. And what you're saying to yourself is just those things. So therefore, next thing you know, what's going to happen? You're going to have your significant other with you saying those things to you too. But it always starts with you. Here's one too. You were born to be loved, cherished, and adored. So what you do is you say it to yourself. I was born to be loved, cherished, and adored. This is my divine birthright. And then put yourself, say, I'm ready, willing, and open to receive my soulmate twin flame's love now. I believe that my soulmate twin flame exists, and I am deserving of her or him, and the universe is skillfully orchestrating our meeting now. If you notice how we put the now in there, we want everything to happen this moment. I don't want to get caught up, because we have people calling up and say, well, what if it doesn't happen? It happened now. What are we going to do? We need to understand that every time you write that statement in your journal, you're focusing on it happening now. And I guarantee if you keep focusing on that statement as happening now, I guarantee you one of these days you're going to be sitting there looking around yourself, realizing you're living it. So then we take our little affirmations and we add a little twist to it. Like I always say, put this little statement at the end. This or something better now manifests for me in totally satisfying and harmonious ways for the highest good of all concerned. So see, that statement itself cancels out anything of saying you're messing with someone's free will. Because basically what it's saying is you're saying, I want this or something better and I want it now. I want it manifested. I want to live it. Okay, in totally satisfying and harmonious ways. So therefore, you're going to attract the person who wants you as much as you want them, who's open, who's emotionally available, because you're saying satisfying and harmonious, and that's satisfying and harmonious. But it also says, for the highest good of all concerned. That's the part I wanted to emphasize on, because it's basically saying right there, you're not messing with someone's free will. What you're doing is you're just basically clearing all the blocks and clutter that might be the one thing that's keeping you guys apart. Or maybe it's the ideal of God and the angels just want you to get with the program and let down your resistance and let it happen. Because any kind of thing of questioning it, or if any kind of residue or any kind of residuals from something you've already been into that you may be still thinking about, could be them, the angels, God and the angels saying, this, use this situation and realize, are you really focusing on what you want? Or are there some things that you're still focusing on that you don't want to repeat? And if you're still thinking about those things, maybe you won't manifest them, but they definitely are blocking you from getting what you really want and the person that you really want. We can all feel it. So I would sit here and say, I feel like in the next couple of months, you'll definitely be living that relationship, Karen.
I agree with you.
That's good. I'm going to my girlfriend's, I hope, around April. Do you think I'll meet him there?
I think before.
What, your girlfriend's house?
She lives in Branson.
Ah.
Okay, you live where? You live in Illinois, right? You live in Illinois, and she lives where?
Branson, Missouri.
Okay, guys, you both said it at the same time. I didn't hear it.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Say
you there?
Pardon?
She said, go ahead. I know what she said.
I didn't hear where your girlfriend was. And I wanted if you could tell me again where she's at.
Branson, Missouri.
You know, the impression I get is no. I feel like, I feel like that. I would definitely see that you're going to meet him before you go there. I get the impression that you'll meet this person beforehand, which actually might even make you think and basically reschedule going to your friend's house.
Mm.
Seriously.
That's okay. I understand.
Yeah.
So, Karen, when's your birthday? When's your birthday, Karen? 4/14/51.
4/14/51.
Uh huh. Okay. Yeah, I definitely get before. I'm not saying you won't go to your friend's house or go visit your friend. I just say that there'll be a question about it, that you might push it back, or there's a fluctuation that could go either way. Push it back or actually I keep getting postponed. Sorry.
I would agree with that one. I think summer. I think she'll wait till summer, but that's just me.
Mm-hmm. Like we tell everybody else, it's all choices, my friend. Choices. If you choose to still go, I still feel like the ideal of this person and this stuff would be understanding about the whole thing. It's just the ideal of meeting a new person in your life and wanting to spend time with him. I also get the impression he'll feel this person will be very understanding if you still want to go to your friends and visit and that kind of stuff. I get this person as being very open-minded and trusting. This or something? Yes.
Excuse me.
I'm just saying, work on the affirmations, okay, sweetie? The affirmations will really help out, because I also have one thing to you, okay? If I'm not mistaken, in that book, The Soulmate Secret by Ariel Ford, there's also a prayer for manifesting your soulmate twin flame. Okay? And it says, God, all that is, in this moment, I am grateful for the healing of my heart, of everything that would stop me from attracting my soulmate twin flame. In this moment, I remember that my perfect right partner is magnetizing to me, and my only job is to rest in perfect awareness that my soulmate twin flame's heart is already joined with mine as I savor the waiting. And so it is. And
okay,
you just let it go. And
the soul.
And what you do is do this. Okay, Karen, do me one favor. What you need to do, the best way I do this is tell everybody, just go to my website, which actually if you pull up Psychic X Journeyman's show page on Block Talk Radio, you'll see there's links there. And you'll see one that says www.psychicxjourneyman.com. All you got to do is click on that. I have a page with all those books on them. And the book I told you about is actually at the top. And it's called The Soulmate Secret, and it's by a lady named Ariel Ford. And if you have any kind of doubts about it, you want to go check that page, please do so, and make sure you get the writing and the information down and the spelling and everything so you can get that book. And while you're there, the reason I send people to the page, because I have all kinds of books on there. So I tell people when you're sitting there and all of a sudden things start jumping out at you, also pay attention to that. Because all they're trying to do is give you other information to make this goal that you have of being with your significant other now. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter where you're at in your life. It doesn't matter if you only have two legs. Oh, hold on. We're supposed to have two legs. I mean, if you only have one leg. Sorry. Anyway.
Try that one again.
Yeah, I was going to say, we all have two legs, don't we?
I was watching the other day.
Right. Did you see this okay, we only got 30 seconds left. So I just want to make sure that you got that, Karen. And I want to thank you, 2D, for being here.
Because
we're about to get
cut. Sure.
Okay, we're about to get cut off. We only got one. Okay, well, check with it. We'll be on here tomorrow night, too. I think 11:30.
Okay.
So join us tomorrow night, too. Okay?